Welcome to the Vitality Radio Podcast, your source for the truth about health, wellness, and real alternatives to drugs, surgeries, and the status quo of healthcare. Here, you'll find information that empowers you to take control of your health. But it's not just about health and wellness. It's about the politics of healthcare and protecting your health freedom. Now, here's your host, Jared St. Clair.
Hello and welcome to Vitality Radio, the podcast where we help you master natural supplements, enhance your emotional vitality, and thrive without pharma drugs. I'm your host. My name is Jared St. Clair. And on today's episode, we're deep diving into the world of B vitamins. Specifically, we'll explore the individual roles of each B vitamin and the powerful synergy that they exhibit when combined as what's known as the vitamin B complex. Have you ever wondered what the B complex is, how it works, why you might need more of it, or when it makes sense to use just one B vitamin on its own, such as B12 or B2, B6, or folate? If so, today's episode aims to answer all of these questions and more. These essential vitamins are essential for a reason, and our health and well-being are improved when we have plenty of them on board. You will learn the basics about methylation, the difference between different types and forms of B vitamins, how to use them effectively on their own and when combined in the B complex, and I'll help you recognize when you are getting a good quality supplement versus, you know, run-of-the-mill stuff, and why you may be creating health issues for yourself with some forms of these critical nutrients. As always, if you have questions once you've listened, call us at 801-292-6662. Talk to one of my great team of experienced people at Vitality Nutrition or jump on the chat at vitalitynutrition.com. Okay, let's kick things off by introducing the cast of characters with this B complex. There's B1, B2, B3, B4. B5, B6, B7, B9, and B12. You'll notice there's no B4. I'm guessing because that's confusing. I don't know. But there's also no B8 or B10 or 11. So I don't know how these things all got their names. We know that vitamin D, for instance, isn't even a vitamin. It's a hormone. So go figure. Regardless, those are the vitamins. We'll talk about what those numbers, what the names for those vitamin numbers are as we go through them. But what I'm going to do here on the show is I'm going to lay out each individual B vitamin. We'll go in numerical order, starting with B1 and ending at B12. We'll hit all the ones in between. And then we'll talk about why the B complex as a whole may be the best way to achieve what you need from these for most people. But as we walk through the individual B vitamins, I'll also help you understand why you might want to use one of them individually for a specific thing that you might be trying to improve when it comes to your health and well-being. So that's the plan. There's a lot of information here. I've never taken on the B complex in one show. I've talked about many of these vitamins independently before. But I think this will be the comprehensive B vitamin show, and I don't know how long it's going to be because there's a lot of information, but here we go. Starting with vitamin B1, also known as thiamine. This is an essential nutrient, like they all are, that acts as a coenzyme in energy metabolism, aiding in the conversion of carbohydrates into usable energy. It's crucial for nerve function and supports the health of the heart and the muscles. One notable version or derivative of vitamin B1 is known as benfotiamine. Now, remember, B1 is also known as thiamine. That's the name of the vitamin. But there are other forms of thiamine that I believe are superior. The first one I want to talk about is benfotiamine. Benfotiamine is a fat-soluble form of thiamine with unique properties that thiamine doesn't always possess. Benfotiamine has garnered attention for its potential benefits in nerve health and nerve pain, particularly things like neuropathic pain from diabetic neuropathy, those types of things. It is really, really fantastic in that area, and there's some excellent research indicating exactly you know, why and how it works there. Research suggests that bimfotiamine may also help protect the nerves from further damage caused by high blood sugar levels in cases of diabetes and insulin resistance, making it a valuable adjunct therapy for individuals with diabetes-related neuropathy. But there is also evidence that whether the neuropathy comes from diabetes or another form of nerve damage, that benfotiamine specifically, that form, is still very, very effective in those cases as well. Benfotiamine also shows promise in alleviating other types of nerve pain and improving nerve function, potentially due to its ability to reduce inflammation and oxidative stress in the central nervous system itself. Beyond its role in nerve health, benfotiamine has also been linked to improvements in mental health, with some studies indicating its potential to alleviate symptoms of depression and anxiety. While more research is needed to fully understand those mechanisms of action, it does appear that benfotiamine has promise in all of those areas. Now, I want to delve into something right here, almost at the top of the show, that is basically a secret that I'm going to let you in on. And this isn't hyperbole. Like, this really is a secret. There are so few people outside of Asia and specifically Japan that know anything about what I'm about ready to tell you. And I'll give you an example of that. I was at a trade show about 12, 13 years ago. Now, yes, this is 12, 13 years ago, but I can tell you that if I did the same thing today, I would get a very similar result. I was at a trade show. I was presenting a product that I had developed called 10-Day Downsize for my brand 10-Day Results. Now, 10-Day Downsize was a pretty unique and still is a pretty unique formula for one specific reason, and that is because of this, what I'll call secret weapon, secret nutrient, secret ingredient that's in it, known as sulbutiamine. Now, it is a derivative, a form of vitamin B1, and I'm going to talk about the research on it, how it came to be, and all that stuff in just a moment. But at this trade show, I was speaking to what would generally be considered well-educated people about vitamins, minerals, and herbs. It was a show full of people who own health food stores and even manufacturers of nutritional supplements. And I was speaking at this seminar, and I asked for a raise of hands, you know, who here has ever heard of sulbutiamine? And guess how many people raised their hand in a room of, I think it was around 80, 85 people in that room, if I remember correctly. Just me. I was the only one. I was the only one in that room who had ever heard of sulbutiamine. Now, I owe that to a friend of mine who's been in the industry not as long as me, but for a long time, and who actually helped me develop my Vital Greens and Shrooms formula, as well as my Vital Test formula, as well as my omega-3 formula, the Vital 5 Omega-3. So, good friend of mine. We have worked together on a lot of supplements over the years. He's the one that introduced me to sulbutiamine, because up until that point, I'd never heard of it. So now let's talk about what the heck it is and why it's something that I think you should know about, why I believe you should be let in on the secret, and I think you're going to be really intrigued by this. But one more, just a little bit, a little more insight into how unknown this thing is, this sulbutiamine thing. I have over 19,000 items in my database at Vitality Nutrition. Now, I don't carry 19,000 items. We carry about 4,500 items at Vitality at any given time, sometimes close to 5,000. But 19,000 includes all the stuff we've carried over the last like 15 years since we put in our system that maintains this database. Of the 19,000 items that are in that system, about six or seven have ever contained sulbutiamine, and currently only three do, two of which are formulas I developed. I'm telling you, nobody knows what this stuff is, and everybody should. So let's go into it. With the 10-day downsize, I included sulbutiamine because it has two really unique benefits that make sense for someone who's trying to lose a little bit of weight. One, it appears to be very effective for many people for appetite suppression. And two, it gives a significant amount of energy without being a central nervous system stimulant. So those are the reasons why it went into downsize. And that's also, those are two of the reasons of several that I put it in the Ultimate Vitality Multi. It is really one of the secret weapons in Ultimate Vitality Multi is the Solbutiamine, along with the other adaptogenic herbs that are in the complex designed to help with energy. So if you take Ultimate Vitality Multi, if you love Ultimate Vitality Multi, and you wonder why you feel so energized when you take Ultimate Vitality Multi, well, Solbutiamine is a big part of that. So let's talk about kind of the history of Solbutiamine. In Japan, in the early 1960s, there was a significant concern with people that were experiencing deficiencies of the B vitamin, B1, thiamine. And this had much to do with modernization of farming practices, modernization primarily of food processing, switching from whole foods to, you know, Americanized foods, we'll say, butchered up, processed, highly processed, not healthy for you foods. And people were starting to get significant vitamin B1 deficiency, specifically in the brain. And what they tried to do to alleviate this was just fortify food with more thiamine. And so that's one of the reasons why we have, you know, enriched rice, for instance, now. Is that they wanted to put these B vitamins that they'd stripped out of the rice back into the rice to give people the proper nutritional value that they need. The problem was that thiamine is not fat soluble, it's water soluble, and it doesn't have the capacity to get through the blood-brain barrier. So as such, we end up with something that didn't do the job that was intended. So a pharmaceutical company in Japan actually went to work to try and figure out how to get vitamin B1 into the brain into a more fat-soluble form, and they came up with Solbutiamine. So yes, sometimes pharmaceutical companies do good things, believe it or not. So this is a natural substance. It is a derivative of the B vitamin B1 or thiamine, but it is made in a lab. It's not found in nature. So just, you know, full disclosure there. I am a huge believer in this supplement. It is incredibly effective based on the countless stories I've heard over the years at Vitality and from personal use myself as well. And thank goodness that I was turned on to it by this friend of mine. Why is it not used in America in supplementation almost ever? Well, that's a good question. I think the biggest part of it is just simply a lack of education. People just don't know what it is. I didn't know what it was until about 20 years ago after being in the industry, you know, for at that point, 30 years. And don't know that I would know what it was if it wasn't for this friend of mine who turned me on to it back then. So that's number one. But number two is it's a pretty expensive ingredient. In fact, it makes up a big chunk of the cost of the Ultimate Vitality Multi. It makes a big chunk, more than half of the cost of the 10-day downsize. So it can be a very expensive ingredient to use, but it pays off in really, really incredible dividends. So what do we know about it in terms of what it actually does in the body? Research suggests that Solbutiamine may have enhanced bioavailability and efficacy compared to thiamine. And I'm going to say that's what the research suggests, but it's pretty clear in the research that that is absolutely the case. Studies have indicated that Solbutiamine can support energy levels by improving mitochondrial function, which is crucial for cellular energy production. Moreover, it has been linked to enhanced mental cognition and focus, with some evidence suggesting it may improve memory and attention span. Now, if you know me, you know that I love things that improve memory and attention span, because those are areas where I tend to struggle. Cognition, focus, all that kind of stuff. So I love Solbutiamine. I've used it a lot over the years. And actually, another little secret, I'm working on a couple of new formulas with Solbutiamine specific to those areas. So really excited about that and to share that with you soon. Solbutiamine is thought to exert its effects on the central nervous system by increasing the levels of certain neurotransmitters, including dopamine and acetylcholine, which is, I call brain food, basically, acetylcholine. These play a role in cognitive function, mood regulation, and energy metabolism. By enhancing neurotransmitter activity, Solbutiamine may promote alertness, focus, and mental clarity. While sobietamine shares some similarities with central nervous system stimulants, such as caffeine, in terms of the effects on cognitive function and energy levels, it tends to have a much more subtle and sustained impact compared to traditional stimulants. Additionally, sobietamine is generally considered to have a lower risk of adverse effects, such as jitteriness or agitation, commonly associated with things like caffeine. So, what I tell people is it's not as strong as caffeine. In some studies, it indicates that maybe it takes about twice as much sobietamine to give you the same level of energy lift that caffeine would give you. So in other words, if you were to have a, say, a Monster, and I'm not going to suggest that, but if you're going to have a Monster drink that has like 150 milligrams of caffeine in it, it might have 300 milligrams of sobietamine to generate that level of energy. However, there's some really, really cool benefits, even though you need twice as much to get the energy that you want. There are some really cool things that it does that caffeine doesn't do, or that it doesn't do that caffeine does. It is not a central nervous system stimulant. It is not addictive. You do not come down off of it with a crash. People feel very steady and stable with sobietamine. And it is longer lasting. It has a more even propensity, I guess, in terms of energy to just kind of keep things even and balanced. Now, a lot of people find, especially with the Ultimate Vitality Multi, that if they take it in the morning, which is what's suggested on the label, but also take maybe a couple of pills in the afternoon, they get that additional little lift to get through the day without the stimulation, without the addictive properties, without any of those issues. And you get all the benefits of vitamin B1, which are many, including some of those benefits that we talk about with the central nervous system and the nerves themselves. So instead of beating up the nervous system and demanding more, it actually is more nourishing to the nervous system, works within the body's normal capacity to generate energy, even down to the mitochondrial level. I love sobietamine. Really, really great stuff. So sobietamine, benfetamine, these are the B vitamins that are the best options when it comes to vitamin B1. Sobietamine, for all the reasons I just stated, benfetamine, probably the better option if you're looking at the nerve pain, neuropathy, those types of issues. And in fact, there's a product that I'm totally in love with called Nerve Reverse, not my formula, but that we do sell at Vitality Nutrition, has a high dose of benfetamine in that we've had really, really good success with for people with nervous system concerns. Okay, let's move to the next one, which is vitamin B2, also known as riboflavin. This is a powerhouse vitamin that plays a vital role in energy production and is essential to maintaining healthy skin, eyes, and nerve function. Spoiler alert, all of these B vitamins have benefit to the nervous system. That's just how they line up. They all do a little bit different things within the nervous system, but you're going to hear that over and over again as we go through the B vitamins. So B2 has been extensively studied for its potential benefits in addressing headaches and migraines. This is probably it is definitely the reason that we have more and more people buying B2 on its own, aside from a B complex or a multivitamin, because the studies indicate that you need 200 to 400 milligrams per day for this purpose. But listen to this. This is pretty powerful stuff. And for the people that it works for, it works very well. Research suggests that riboflavin supplementation may help reduce the frequency and severity of migraines, possibly due to its role in energy metabolism and antioxidant activity. Several clinical trials have demonstrated that regular intake of riboflavin can lead to a significant decrease in the number of migraine attacks experienced by individuals. Moreover, riboflavin has been shown to improve mitochondrial function, which could contribute to its efficacy in migraine prevention. Beyond its role in headache management, though, riboflavin offers a range of other benefits supported by research. It plays a crucial role in maintaining healthy skin, eyes, and nerve function. It assists in the metabolism of fats, carbohydrates, and proteins. Additionally, riboflavin is involved in the synthesis of glutathione, a powerful antioxidant that helps protect cells from oxidative damage. Overall, riboflavin stands up as a versatile nutrient that provides benefits for headache relief, overall health, and well-being. Now, that's what the research states. My experience with B2 has been that when people take it appropriately, 200 to 400 milligrams, even I have some people that take even 500 or 600 milligrams, it can and does work incredibly well for prevention of migraines in some people. It does not do the job everywhere. And I think that's because the simple fact that migraines can come from a whole bunch of different places, including spinal misalignment and so many other things, you know, food sensitivities, that kind of thing. But it does appear that B2 is one of the safe and potentially effective things that is at least worth a shot if you deal with chronic headaches, migraines, things like that. Okay, let's jump to the next one. Vitamin B3, also known as niacin, also known as niacinamide, which participates in over 400 different enzymatic reactions in the body. Niacin supports cardiovascular health by promoting healthy cholesterol levels and aids in the metabolism of carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. I should have spoiler alerted that too. All the B vitamins, well, most of the B vitamins play a role in metabolism of carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. They are critical for the uptake and utilization of nutrition from our food. This is the one you may have heard of that gives you that flushing effect. If you take a high dose of B3, also known as niacin, you can get that red, tingly, almost pins and needles kind of an effect. Usually in the face is where most people will notice it, but it's not dangerous to feel that. It can be alarming for sure. Know that that's kind of a natural, side effect, I guess you could say, of B3 at higher than, say, 100 milligrams. Some people notice it even at down at 100 milligrams. Most people 100 or less don't notice it. But if they take, 2, 3, 500 milligrams, that kind of thing, which is often used for cholesterol balance, HDL versus LDL, LDL and total cholesterol, then you can get a flush. That is because niacin opens up the capillaries very, very quickly, pushes a lot of blood flow to the skin, and you'll notice that flushing effect. It typically goes away in 10 or 15 minutes for most people, and you can build up a little bit of a tolerance to it. But it is something to be noted when it comes to niacin. Also, niacin is a key component of the coenzymes known as NAD. Nicotinamide, adenine, dinucleotide, okay, NAD. You may also know about NMN. By the way, planning on doing a show all about NAD and NMN as soon as I gather up all the data that I'm looking for to present it to you, so I won't dwell on that. But yes, niacin is the B vitamin that is a component of that process, which makes a big difference in anti-aging benefits. Guys like David Sinclair talk about, not St. Clair, Sinclair, no relation, but I like a lot of his stuff. That's niacin, okay? So let's move to right past B4 because it doesn't exist, right to B5, known as pantothenic acid. That's the next one on our list. And this vitamin is involved in the synthesis of coenzyme A, which plays a critical role in fatty acid and carbohydrate metabolism. It also supports adrenal function and hormone production. Now, this one I think is really important because if you are concerned about your adrenal health, which many of you are, I just did a show on adrenal function with Dr. Cameron a few months ago, and it was well received because a lot of people are concerned about their adrenals. And I happen to know that even Carlin Call on the Just Ingredients podcast and at Just Ingredients introduced an adrenal health product. And it became her biggest seller overnight. So lots of people out there worried about their adrenals. But here is an unsung hero that I think needs a lot more recognition when it comes to adrenal health, and that is pantothenic acid, vitamin B5. Because of what it does for supporting coenzyme A, it plays a significant role in supporting energy levels and overall metabolic function, some of the things that people complain about when they feel like they have low adrenal function. But pantothenic acid also can play a big role in skin health. In fact, we've seen quite good benefit in people with wound healing, reducing inflammation in the skin, things like rosacea, even acne in many cases can be reduced with pantothenic acid. And one of the reasons that they think that that is the case is because of that synthesis of, again, coenzyme A, which is essential to the production of fatty acids and the formation of the skin barrier itself. So really interesting stuff. Pantothenic acid also plays a big role in hair health. Some research suggesting that pantothenic acid supplements may help improve the hair by nourishing the hair follicles themselves, promoting hair growth, and reducing hair loss. It's why it's one of the big components in Hair Revive, the formula that I developed for Ridgecrest Herbals 15 years ago or whatever it's been now. Pantothenic acid is in there for that very reason. It also is a great stress mitigator. Now, as a team, the B complex is fantastic for stress and anxiety. I have most of the B complex in my anxiety release formula for that very reason, because it plays such a role in stress management and balancing adrenal hormones and all these types of things. But pantothenic acid on its own is involved in the synthesis of adrenal hormones such as cortisol, which plays a crucial role in the body's response to stress, as you probably know. Some research suggests that pantothenic acid supplements may help support adrenal function and actually improve the body's ability to cope with stress, both acute and chronic stress. Also, there are some nice side benefits because pantothenic acid is necessary for the synthesis of acetylcholine, that brain food I talked about before, and that can help with memory, learning, cognitive function as well. And maybe my favorite kind of unknown use for pantothenic acid is in its potential use for hay fever. Believe it or not, 500 to 1500 milligrams of pantothenic acid daily can make a big difference for hay fever. When I was a young man, 17, 18 years old, last couple of years of high school, I guess I do know what reason because I know how I fixed it. But at the time, I didn't know what reason. Was really struggling with hay fever, like really, really bad. Now, I haven't had hay fever in any significant way since I was in my teens, after I did a massive liver detox that cleared out whatever was in there causing the issue. Side note, if you deal with hay fever and you haven't done a good liver detox, consider doing that. I personally did the Master Cleanse, which is also known as the Lemonade Diet, for 10 days. I haven't had hay fever since. Kind of amazing. But prior to that discovery, I discovered that pantothenic acid could help with hay fever. Started using that, and it did make a significant reduction in symptoms for me. Doesn't work for everybody. Works for a lot of people in that department. Let's move on to vitamin B6. And keep in mind that vitamin B6, vitamin B12, and folate, also known as vitamin B9, are very related and often used together, almost like what we talk about with vitamin K2, vitamin D3, and magnesium, that kind of thing. So I'll tell you about them independently, but I also want to talk about them collectively as well. Vitamin B6 is known as pyridoxine. It's essential for over 100 enzymatic reactions. All of these B vitamins play a role in a big number of reactions. It supports immune function and hormone regulation as well. And in this case, we absolutely want to look for the active form of B6, which is known as P5P, also known as pyridoxal 5-phosphate. On the back of your bottle, it'll usually say both things, P5P and pyridoxal 5-phosphate. One of those will be in parentheses. But that's the form of B6 you want, not pyridoxine HCl, which is typically there. Now, pyridoxine HCl is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not a harmful B vitamin. It's just far less efficient and effective than P5P, so you really want the better form, and that is because it is methylated, pre-methylated. Well, okay, let me step back from that. It's not technically methylated. It is cell-ready. Not all B vitamins need to be methylated. B12 does. Folate does, for instance, but P5P does need to be cell-rated, ready. It still needs to be converted by the body in order to get into the cell. And so the P5P form is already done for you, so your body has less work to do to utilize it. In terms of bioavailability, P5P is the active form of B6, as I said, and does not require that conversion, and therefore far superior to pyridoxine HCl. From an enzymatic activity standpoint, P5P serves as a cofactor for all of those 100-plus enzymatic reactions I mentioned before. And in its active form, it has been proven to be substantially more efficient in those enzymatic reactions than is B6, pyridoxine HCl. Now, this is an important thing, too. I discovered this recently when I was looking into neuropathy. B6 is very, very beneficial for neuropathy, potentially. It's also very well documented that it can help with carpal tunnel syndrome. But here's the interesting thing, and this is where you have to be a little cautious with the B6 and the forms of B6. Pyridoxine HCl, which is typical B6, which is what's in most vitamins on the market, at the proper dose, which varies a lot from person to person, usually I'll say 25 milligrams to 100 milligrams. That's kind of a standard dose. But some people take a lot more than that, 200, even 500 milligrams, specifically for nerve pain, carpal tunnel. But this, there's an interesting little caveat that you have to be aware of here. And that is that B6 in that pyridoxine HCl form can cause nerve pain to get worse. It can actually exacerbate the pain at a certain dose. And the problem is that certain dose depends on the individual taking that dose. Some people do better with higher doses. Some people do better with lower doses. There seems to be a happy place, and you kind of have to figure out where that happy place is. I've talked to many clients over the years who have taken more B6 thinking it would help with their symptoms and have actually made their symptoms worse. Now, it doesn't appear to cause lasting damage, but if you notice that those nerve symptoms are getting worse, particularly things like carpal tunnel or neuropathy, you may be taking either the wrong B6 or too much of it. It appears, based on what I've been able to gather, that P5P doesn't have that issue. You utilize what you need. It doesn't exacerbate the issue. You find your sweet spot with it in terms of effect, but you don't have to worry about taking too much and actually creating a worsened condition when it comes to nerve pain. So keep that in mind when we're talking about P5P. Now let's talk about how it works with neurotransmitters, because I think this is really cool. It plays a crucial role in the synthesis of specific neurotransmitters, including serotonin, that, you know, big feel-good hormone, dopamine, another great feel-good hormone and motivational hormone, and GABA, which is the one that calms overactivity in the brain. There is P5P in my anxiety release formula for the very specific reason that it actually helps with mental anxiety, because if we get higher levels of GABA in the brain, we tend to experience less mental anxiety, get more focused and less frazzled in the brain, and P5P plays a role in that. It's GABA, of course, is essential for mood regulation, cognitive function, and overall mental health, along with serotonin and dopamine. So P5P is kind of a one that props those up and makes them more efficient inside the body and inside the brain specifically. There's also really great evidence that P5P, especially when combined with vitamin B12, methylated form of B12, and folate, is involved in the metabolism of homocysteine. Homocysteine is an amino acid that, when elevated, is associated with an increased risk of cardiovascular disease. In my opinion, homocysteine is far more the killer than cholesterol ever has been or ever will be, and is not largely discussed, I think quite possibly, because there is not a drug for homocysteine that makes the kind of money that the statin drugs do for cholesterol. Maybe that's just me, but regardless, you can do this naturally, and homocysteine levels, if you're concerned about that, if you're concerned about cardiovascular wellness, P5P plus methylated B12 plus folate, not folic acid, but methylfolate, can be very, very helpful in that department. Now, in my opinion, if you have MTHFR, that genetic mutation, or if you suspect that you have the MTHFR mutation based on symptomology that you're dealing with, rather than just taking methylfolate, which is often recommended for that, which I would say is the most important of the three, rather than just taking methylfolate or methylfolate with methylcobalamin, B12, you really do want P5P in the mix as well. I believe the combination of the three is as good of a starting point in terms of supplementation for MTHFR as there probably is available on the market right now. And the other big starting point would be avoiding the synthetic forms of these vitamins, cyanocobalamin, folic acid, and pyridoxine HCl, if you suspect you have MTHFR. So avoiding those in your diet and in your supplements, easier said than done, but still doable. My sweetheart, Jen, we still haven't done genetic testing. She and I are both planning to do it soon just to see what the whole picture is as far as that goes. But we suspect that she and many of her family members deal with MTHFR, and we have found that as she has eliminated the folic acid, most of the folic acid from her diet, by eliminating enriched flours and things like that, that she has seen significant improvements in her health and especially in her mental health. So avoidance of those things is big. I'll probably do a whole show on that. And I did do an MTHFR show with an expert a while back. We'll link to that in the show description as well. But anyway, just a little caveat there, a little side note on the P5P, B12, and folate and the MTHFR thing. Let's move on to vitamin B7. Have you heard of B7? Most people haven't. Have you heard of vitamin H? I would say most people haven't heard of that either, but you probably, some of you have heard of both of those things, but I bet you've heard of biotin. Well, it's all the same thing. I don't know why they call it vitamin H. I don't know why they call it vitamin B7. I don't know why they don't just call it biotin. It's some combination of those things. In most cases, though, I will say that on your supplement bottle, it's usually listed as biotin, not B7 or vitamin H. So look for biotin. That's usually what you'll find. This is known as the beauty vitamin because of its role in promoting healthy hair, skin, and nails. Biotin also is involved in the metabolism of fatty acids, amino acids, and glucose, just like most of the rest of the B vitamins. But biotin may also help regulate blood sugar levels by enhancing the activity of enzymes involved in glucose metabolism. So for people with diabetes or borderline diabetes or people who are dealing with insulin resistance, biotin is a big deal. Some of the research on biotin is really, really powerful there. It also has some real support in prenatal health. So we think about folate all the time with prenatal health, but we don't talk about biotin that much. It's going to be found in all your prenatal vitamins, especially your really good ones will have higher doses of it in there. Biotin is important for fetal development during pregnancy, particularly for the development of the embryo's nervous system. Adequate biotin intake during pregnancy is essential for preventing birth defects and promoting healthy fetal growth and development. Now, let's talk about dosages, okay? So the dosages on biotin are interesting. They're pretty high in terms of micrograms. For hair, skin, and nails, the dose starts at about 1,000 micrograms. That seems to be an effective dose, a useful dose, but in many people that really struggle in that department, not enough. The typical dose is usually going to be more like 5 to 10,000 micrograms daily, and that can be taken in a capsule, it can be taken in a sublingual, it can be taken in a gummy or something like that. All of those work fine. In Hair Revive, the formula that I developed for Ridgecrest Herbals, I included 6,000 micrograms of biotin based on the research that I did at the time, and I still think that's a pretty good solid dose for most people dealing with hair health issues or hair loss. There's another really, really cool side benefit that I mentioned before, that if you are taking it for hair, skin, and nails, but you're also concerned about your blood sugar, well, the dosages fall kind of in the same mix, about 3,000 to 10,000 micrograms for blood sugar based on the research that's been done. And again, usually about 5 to 10,000 micrograms for hair health, skin health, and nail health. So if you're using it for one, you'll get that side benefit for the other. One little thing I want to note with this, there are many hair, skin, and nail gummies out on the market now. And most of them are lying to you, or not telling you the whole truth is probably more accurate. They put a lot of biotin in those in most cases because a lot of biotin in most cases will improve your hair health. So people take the gummy, they say, oh my gosh, this formula is working really great for me. I love it. They're charging a lot more than biotin on its own would cost because they're marketing it as a hair, skin, and nail supplement. But in almost every case, the gummies that I've seen, okay, let me start over. In every case, the gummies that I've seen are largely just biotin. And so save your money. Don't buy the hair, skin, and nail vitamin in the gummy form. In fact, in many cases, the hair, skin, and nail vitamin in a pill form is still mostly just biotin. Buy biotin on its own. It's much less expensive. It'll do most of the same work, if not all of the same work. Or if you want a really, really uniquely high potency hair supplement, check out the Hair Revive. Okay, so that's that one. Now we have just two more. Vitamin B9, known as folic acid as the synthetic form, or folate as the natural form, methylfolate as the cell-ready form. Crucial for DNA synthesis and cell division. It plays a vital role in fetal development during pregnancy, which is why it's always found, again, in the prenatals, and there's excellent evidence that having enough folate will prevent neural tubal birth defects. So we know we want that. You may have heard a guy named Gary Brecka, or maybe some of these other influencers online. I think Brecka is awesome. I agree with so much of what he says. So in no way am I throwing shade on Gary Brecka, but I do want to just mention something that I think is important. Folic acid isn't the devil. Most people on this planet can handle folic acid and utilize a pretty high percentage of it and get the benefits that they want from folic acid. But if you are an MTHFR person, or if you suspect that you are, because you deal with a lot of mental health issues or other issues associated with MTHFR mutations, then folic acid is the devil for you, potentially, because what we found is that it can absolutely be problematic for individuals specifically with what's called the C677T or the A1298C variants of MTHFR. It may have issues with the others as well, but there's some good clinical documentation of those specific ones. And in those mutations, you can end up with too much folic acid in the system because your body cannot convert it to folate, methylfolate, and that can actually create a significant range of symptoms associated with MTHFR. So if you're dealing with that, or if you think you are, you've got to very seriously consider eliminating folic acid from your diet. Even if you only do it for a month just to test the waters and see how you do without it, you may be shocked. Now, doing that, again, as I said earlier, easier said than done. It's fairly difficult to eliminate folic acid because it is in so many packaged foods. But you can do it. You can find pasta without it. You can find bread without it. You can find crackers and cookies and biscuits and all the other things without it, if you're cautious and if you're reading labels. But I do highly recommend eliminating folic acid from your diet if you have that concern, and replace it with methylfolate, because it's like a teeter-totter kind of a situation here. It's the balancing of the scales, okay? That's what's going on in my head here. So if we have a lot of folic acid and not enough methylfolate, that folic acid weighs down that end of the scale, which creates lots of MTHFR symptoms, mood disorder issues, anxiety, depression, bipolar, attention deficit, so many other things that can come with excessive folic acid in a body that has that mutation. As we pull the folic acid out by not introducing more and letting the body eventually get it out of the system, and we get the methylfolate in, then we are not only eliminating a toxin from the body, but introducing a nutrient that the body has been starved for in methylfolate, the cell-ready form. So if you can do that, I can promise you that without a genetic test, if there is MTHFR, I probably shouldn't use the word promise, but I've yet to see this not play out this way so far in all the people that I've talked to and worked with. If there is an MTHFR mutation and you don't have a genetic test to prove it, but you have many of the symptoms of MTHFR, if you eliminate folic acid and you introduce methylfolate, you can essentially test it that way. Because if you feel dramatically better, there's a really, really good chance that you are dealing with that genetic mutation, and you may not necessarily need to do the genetic testing. You just make that switch. But if you're going to make that switch, don't just introduce methylfolate. Also make sure you're introducing P5P and methylcobalamin, because as a team, they are dynamite for people that deal with MTHFR. Okay. Now, let's go to B12, the very last of the B complex, after we skip over B10 and B11, which don't exist. So this one's known as cobalamin, but there is hydroxycobalamin, methylcobalamin, adenosylcobalamin, and the basic cyanocobalamin. Now, cyanocobalamin, also not the devil, okay? But it's not great. It's by far the inferior form of B12. It is also by far the most commonly one sold in grocery stores and markets across the country, and even a lot of health food stores. So we don't like cyanocobalamin for a variety of reasons. I won't go into those in much detail. I don't think it's super dangerous necessarily. I just don't think it's super productive. And again, if you have MTHFR, it can be a real problem. Methylcobalamin has the highest level research, the biggest body of research is in methylcobalamin, and that is the one that I suggest for that reason. If you're going to use B12, use a methylcobalamin form. What does it do for you? It supports nerve health, like all the rest of the B vitamins, but in a very significant way. Methylcobalamin plays a crucial role in the maintenance of nerve function and the synthesis of myelin, which is the protective sheath that surrounds nerve fibers. Adequate levels of methylcobalamin are essential for nerve health and may help prevent nerve damage and neuropathy. And I have definitely witnessed that not only does it help to prevent, which is what a lot of the research shows, but it can actually help with the symptomology as well. Promotes cognitive function. B12 plays a big role in the methylcobalamin form in neurotransmitter synthesis. And if you get an adequate intake of methylcobalamin, you can help support cognitive function, memory, concentration, and it may even reduce the risk of age-related cognitive decline and dementia. There is excellent evidence, like I mentioned before, that B12, along with methylfolate, along with B6 in the P5P form, so methylcobalamin, methylfolate, P5P, that big trifecta that I recommend for MTHFR folks, also fantastic for people that are concerned about cardiovascular wellness and reducing homocysteine levels. Big, big players in that. And not a B vitamin, but something else I highly recommend if you're worried about homocysteine, before I get to doing that show and you want to address it, those three B vitamins plus something known as trimethylglycine or betaine anhydrous, that quad of nutrients, I can't call it a trifecta. What do you call four? I'm going to call it a quadraphonic. I think that's a stereo term. But those four ingredients, okay, I'm just joking around here, of B12, B6, folate, and TMG for the purposes of reducing homocysteine and improving cardiovascular health are superstars for sure, and the research bears that out. B12 also plays a role in mood balance. It plays a role in hair, skin, and nails, and various other things as well. Okay, so that's all the B vitamins independently. I can't believe I got that in about 45 minutes. I'm kind of proud of myself. I hope I didn't go too fast. I hope that information was very useful for you. Now, let's talk about the real world situation that we're all in, where we're trying to figure out what supplements am I supposed to use? What's going to do what? What do I need versus what does my husband or my wife need or my kids or, you know, whatever it is. When it comes to the B complex, I believe that most people will benefit enough from just the B complex itself, of course, in the proper forms. The reason that the Vital 5 has the Ultimate Vitality Multi as the cornerstone is that it has, one of the reasons I should say, is that it has all of the B complex in it and all at those premium, in those premium forms, including what I talked about at the very beginning with the sulbutiamine and the benfotiamine as far as the B1 sources go. So that's there because stress is real. The nervous system is under attack constantly from all types of stress, including mental, emotional stress, physical stress, oxidative stress from chemical toxins in the environment, and so many other things. And the B vitamins are critical for all of that. Also, we all eat. We all have to metabolize food. We all have to synthesize the nutrition from food. And all the B vitamins work for all of that as well. So we want extra B vitamins for that reason. That's why the Vital 5 is the multivitamins right there at the heart of the Vital 5. If you're not using the Ultimate Vitality Multi and you're looking for something that's going to have the right B vitamins in it, make sure that you get the forms that I've discussed in this show, that those are the ones that are in your multivitamin. But if you're looking for a multivitamin that was hand-picked each individual ingredient for the purposes of filling the gaps as much as possible in your diet. Ultimate Vitality Multi will do that for you. And of course, we'll also provide you with some extra energy, which people absolutely love. So the B complex generally on its own or as a combination will do the job for most people. But if you are dealing with hair loss, if you're dealing with high levels of homocysteine, if you're dealing with nerve pain or neuropathy or any of those types of things, that's why I went through all of them individually to help you figure out what you can do in higher doses with things like biotin, B2 for the headaches, and so on. So still, you want the whole B complex. You always want the whole B complex. They work together in tandem, and they're very, very effective as a whole. But you can take additional B2 or additional B12 or additional methylfolate or whatever it is in addition to the B complex. So get the B complex in. We all need it. They're required nutrients in the body. But then if you need additional help in additional specific areas, then that's when you want to look at the individual B vitamins for that reason. What I hope you gain from this show is primarily these next 4 points. The form, the dosage form matters. What is the form of the B vitamin? Is it methylated if it needs to be? Is it a fat soluble like benfotiamine or sulbutamine when it is beneficial, if it is? That matters. The dose matters. Is it high enough? Am I getting the dose that actually clinical evidence indicates that I should get? 200 to 400 milligrams, for instance, if you're working with B12 and trying to avoid headaches and migraines. 3 to 10,000 on biotin if you're trying to help with blood sugar control, and so on. With vitamin B12, it appears that most people do really well with somewhere, and this is a huge range, of 1,000 to 10,000 micrograms daily. And vitamin B12 is super experiential, so you can experiment with it, see what dose works for you. If you're using the methylcobalamin form, you should feel a little more energy, a little better lift, a little better mental clarity if you're getting the right dose. So you can experiment with those doses. I typically recommend a minimum of 1,000 and preferably more like 2,000 to 5,000 to start. See where you go from there and then decide. But the form of the vitamin matters. The dose, the milligram or microgram dose matters. And then also, if you've got the MTHFR mutation, you have a real need to eliminate cyanocobalamin and folic acid from your diet and replace them with methylcobalamin and methylfolate. That is a huge, huge deal. So those are the points that I want to bring to you. I hope this was a helpful bit of information. I am a huge believer in the vitamin B complex. It is complex, and in 16 years of doing this show, I've never brought you a show like this. I would love to have your feedback. Let me know what you think. Did this help? Would you like future deep dives into individual vitamins? I've thought about doing a show on vitamin C, for instance, a show on vitamin A and how it can be used internally as well as externally, and what the difference is between things like beta carotene and retinal palmitate. I want to do those shows if you want to hear them. So give me your feedback on Instagram. Remember, I'm doing Q&As now. You can ask questions there. I'll answer them on the show. And you can also jump into the Facebook listeners community, or you can call us 801-292-6662, or you can jump on our chat at vitalitynutrition.com. There will be links to everything I talked about in the show, lots of them, because I talked about lots of things. I hope this is helpful. I hope that you continue on your journey towards ultimate vitality with me. I'm Jared St. Clair, and this has been Vitality Radio. Before I forget, I want to remind you that Be Healthy Utah is coming up. It's April 19th and 20th. If you're not in Utah, that's okay. You can still kind of virtually attend. It's not streaming, but they will send you the recordings, if you're interested, of about 40 different speakers, including myself, Carlin Call, many other excellent speakers talking about, all things health, wellness, nutrition, cutting edge stuff, great stuff. I love this event. Now, if you're in Utah, you can come in person. It's at the Mountain America Expo Center in Sandy on Friday, the 19th of April, and Saturday, the 20th of April. It's a most of the day event, both days. All that information is at BeHealthyUtah.com. You can get 40% off if you use the code Vitality40 for your in-person tickets, two-day tickets, which are only $37 to begin with, so it's like $22 with the 40% off. Total no-brainer. If you can be there that weekend, I highly recommend it. But just for the speakers, just for one or two of the speakers, to pay $22 is well worth it. 2 to 3 weeks after the event, you'll have access to all of those talks, all of which are worth hearing for sure. I've listened to many of these speakers before myself and highly recommend it. Vitality40 is the code at BeHealthyUtah.com. April 19th and 20th is the big event. If you decide to come, I'd love for you to stop at my booth and shake my hand, introduce yourself if we haven't met before, reintroduce yourself if we have. And of course, I'd love to have you hear me speak, which happens on Saturday the 20th at 3 p.m. So that's it. BeHealthyUtah.com.
You've been listening to the Vitality Radio Podcast. Enjoy your week. In the meantime, Jared will be feverishly searching for the latest nutrition info to educate you on and wading into mounds of propaganda to help steer you through it. Vitality Radio is researched and written by Jared St. Clair. Our awesome music is by Brian Bob Young. Support Vitality Radio by subscribing and giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or your favorite podcast source. Don't forget to follow us at Vitality Radio on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Please let us know your thoughts about this episode by using the hashtag Vitality Radio Podcast. And if you like what you hear, go tell somebody with a share, a screenshot, or an airdrop. Thank you.